Most ads you see at department stores feature a certain kind of model. Flawless complexion, skinny, standing sleek and tall in the newest fashions. But new ads for Nordstrom picture a model that looks a bit different. Fashion blogger Jillian Mercado is not standing. She's sitting in a wheelchair, as she has since age 12 because of muscular dystrophy. The way companies try to sell us things says a lot about me and you and the world we live in. So what does it mean that Nordstrom is featuring models with disabilities? That's a question Ginny Yennel posed to Jean Kilborn. She's an expert on advertising and culture and creator of the film series Killing Us Softly, Advertising's Image of Women. Nordstrom says they have long thought their ad campaigns should feature diversity, but Jean Kilborn says there might be another reason that the retailer is using a model in a wheelchair.
A more cynical interpretation is that they're, you know, trying to just get attention and to get media attention in addition, and that this is just an attempt to stand out in a way and, you know, get more dollars, you know, from consumers. Even if that's true, I still think it's a good thing that they're doing this.
Why do you say that?
Well, the advertising and the popular culture in general promotes the idea that there's only one way for a woman to be beautiful, and that is to be very young, extremely thin, sort of perfect features, if to be white or at least light-skinned, and to have Caucasian features. So it's a very narrow ideal of what's beautiful, and it excludes most women. I mean, it certainly excludes all older women, and by that I mean like over 30, and it excludes women of color for the most part. It excludes even most young women who can't possibly approximate the ideal, and it certainly excludes women with disabilities. And the research is clear that this affects self-esteem, and it also affects how men feel about the very real women in their lives.
Beyond that, why does it matter for there to be a more diverse demographic group to be represented in advertising?
Well, I think it matters because, for two main reasons. One is that it's important for members of that group to see themselves reflected. And the other reason is that it's important for other people to see them represented because, you know, what we don't see, we tend to think doesn't exist. And so, you know, the truth is that a huge percentage of Americans have disabilities, and yet because they're very rarely reflected in advertising or the popular culture, most people really underestimate that percentage. So just to get used to seeing this in the popular culture, in advertising, broadens our perspective and makes it more likely that we'll acknowledge this whole arena that maybe would be invisible to us otherwise.
I'm talking with Jean Kilborn. She's the creator of a film series called Killing Us Softly, Advertising's Image of Women. And she's also an expert on the relationship between advertising and culture. Jean, is there an example of when advertising has actually played a positive role for a minority group of people in the United States?
Huh. You know, I can't think of one. I really can't think of one. I think there's some advertising certainly that's better than others, and there's some advertising, especially now, there's been sort of a spate of commercials that are about empowering girls, you know, we've rarely seen that before. But in terms of a minority group that's really been empowered by advertising, I really can't think of a single example.
That's sort of depressing.
I think it is. It is, yeah. There are a couple of ways that people are harmed by images in the media. One is by negative images, you know, by the negative stereotypes about their particular group or ethnic identity or class or whatever. But there's another way in which people are harmed, and that is what noted researcher George Gerbner called symbolic annihilation. And that means to not be reflected at all. So that if you never see yourself or almost never see yourself reflected, you become invisible in a way. You're annihilated in a symbolic way. And that actually can do an enormous amount of harm to the individuals in that group and also to the rest of us if we don't see these groups reflected.
I think, though, there could also be an argument made that advertising isn't in the business of selling us reality. Advertising is in the business of selling us inner desires, fantasy, really. So what's wrong with that?
Well, that depends on, I mean, from the advertiser's point of view, of course, nothing's wrong with it. And if that's where their discussion ends, I mean, that's all they're trying to do is to, in many ways, create anxiety and then sell us products and that sort of thing. Then that's one argument. But my whole point is that advertising sells a whole lot more than products, that it sells values, it sells images, it sells concepts of love and sexuality, of romance, of success, and perhaps most important, of normalcy. So to a great extent, advertising tells us who we are and who we should be. For example, I mean, one model, one very thin, perfect-looking young model is not going to, you know, be a problem. But if that's all we ever see, and that's happening in thousands and hundreds of thousands of ads and celebrity magazines and TV shows and that sort of thing, if that's all we ever see, then that's going to play a huge role in defining what it means to be an attractive woman.
I'm going to posit another argument here. I think a lot of us like to believe that we can just ignore advertising, right? It's as simple as turning off the television or not looking at magazines, and that it actually doesn't affect us if we don't seek it out. Do you think that's true, or are
we
just...
No, I mean, it's certainly true that virtually everyone feels personally exempt from the influence of advertising. So what I hear more than anything else wherever I go is, I don't pay attention to ads, I just tune them out, they have no effect on me. And although I think it's true that most people don't pay conscious attention to advertising, that doesn't mean that they're not affected. Because advertising is designed to affect us emotionally and mostly subconsciously. The editor-in-chief of Advertising Age, the major publication of the advertising industry, once said, only 8% of an ad is perceived by the conscious mind. The rest is worked and reworked deep within the recesses of the subconscious. So it's we are affected by this even if we're not paying attention. And in fact, in some ways, the fact that we believe that we're not affected plays right into the advertiser's hands, because it means we're not really on guard, that they can sort of slip beneath our radar, because we think it's all so silly and trivial, it can't possibly be affecting us. And yet the messages certainly get driven home.
You mentioned earlier that you couldn't think of an advertising campaign that had a positive impact on a minority population. But people with disabilities are a minority population. Do you think that this ad campaign could have a positive impact?
Sure. I mean, it's one company, you know, one catalog, one shot, basically. So by itself, it's not going to make a huge difference. But if other companies see that this is good, or that it's getting a good response, or even that it's getting media attention, then maybe other companies will start doing it too. So that could make a difference. And it could make a difference not only for the individuals who are disabled, but also, as I've said, for the rest of us who will then perhaps become more aware of this whole issue.
Jean Kilbourn is the creator of the film series Killing Us Softly, Advertising's Image of Women. She spoke with KUOW's Jeannie Yandel about retailer Nordstrom using models with disabilities. This is The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds.